Please rise as you are able and join me in our call to worship. The Lord is King.
Let the people tremble.
The Lord is enthroned upon the cherubim.
Let the earth shake.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord.
And worship upon God's holy hill. For the Lord
our God is the Holy One. Come, let us worship our King.
Please join me in hymn number 75.
Please remain standing as you can, and in trust, let us call upon God's holy name. Confess our sin and receive forgiveness. Merciful and gracious God, we bow before your unending compassion, the measure of our falling short. We have not loved as you command. We have not spoken truly. We have not cared for creation, including ourselves, according to your will. What we intend, we have not pursued. What we mean to avoid, we embrace. Help us to know the mind of Christ, that in all thoughts, words, and deeds, our lives might come to honor you. Amen. When one turns to the Lord, the veil over our hearts is removed, and God welcomes our return to God's side. Know that our sins are forgiven by our gracious Creator. Then, transformed, turn with unveiled faces and see to the health of all creation as newborn children of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Since in Christ we have such hope, we can act with great confidence and live in the peace which passes all understanding. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share this peace with those around you with a smile or a nod. Please join me in prayer. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 12, which is in page 180 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to join along. Since then, we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord, as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
I think I'm doing some children's time, if Olivia wants to come up.
Back to your seat.
I want to say thank you to the choir and to the Trinity Trio. It's pretty amazing to me. I don't always know what people are singing when we put the bulletin together. But, you know, you look at your bulletin today, and it's a picture of the disciples. They're on the ground. Now, whether they've fallen there or if they've just slept there, I'm not sure, but they fell to the ground, claiming, "Holy, holy, holy." And Jesus was abiding with them. And we're going to have a story now from Luke about Jesus abiding with the disciples and the world. Listen now to Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 28. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he had said. While he was saying this, a cloud came over and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Hear him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then, a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly, a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, waiting for something or someone can be tiring. Think of waiting for an airplane or a loved one in surgery. The stress of waiting for the doctor to come with news can be exhausting, right? Nowadays, lots of folks play with their cell phones while they wait, but others really do close their eyes and nap. The disciples all but drifted off to sleep. They didn't have cell phones up there on that mountain, and the sun was warm on their backs. Their eyelids grew heavy while they waited for their master as he conversed with God. And suddenly, they were awakened by the brilliant light of heavenly glory. It was like lightning. How surreal it must have seemed for Peter, John, and James to see Jesus in such dazzling arrayment, and for him to be standing with two other men? That whole scene makes us wonder, what were Jesus and God talking about? Had the Lord revealed Jesus' true identity to him? Perhaps a shared vision of Jesus' future? Or was God strengthening his courage for all that lay ahead? Whichever, God's word had definitely altered Jesus. His whole appearance reminded them of the story of when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets. His face glowed with such a brilliance that the people feared him. And now, Jesus' whole being radiated light. Perhaps that memory is what caused the disciples to believe Jesus was in the company of Moses and Elijah, the two greatest prophets of Hebrew history. Both had had mountaintop experiences that strengthened them for their ministries. Perhaps they were now encouraging Jesus for whatever lay before him. The disciples had witnessed an awesome, awesome sight. Their Lord stood with the greatest holy leaders ever, and all were encircled in what must surely be the aura of God. This vision was worth waiting for. No wonder Peter hoped to extend the moment by building tiny houses for the threesome. He wanted to honor their presence and feel the glory of God around himself. But God did not intend the moment to be forever encapsulated in crystal. For right then, the heavenly voice speaks for all to hear, "This is my son, my chosen one. Hear him." And with that, they began the journey down from on high to what waited below, which is, of course, the ultimate reality check, right? Certainly, both prayer and sleep can refresh, renew, and ready us for our daily lives. Vacations and sabbaticals are extended opportunities to become stronger for our journeys. But what happened up on that mountaintop was far removed from what anyone might experience after a nap or a vacation. This was face-to-face, an encounter with the holy. For indeed, through his prayer with God, Jesus had been transformed in ways we cannot imagine. If you've ever witnessed an inspiring bonfire at church camp or a particularly moving worship service or maybe gone on a spiritual retreat, you've got some kind of understanding of the inward sensation such an event can kindle. Mountaintop experiences, you know? They can be overwhelming, startling, breathtaking, and earth-shaking. And yeah, you want that moment to last forever. There's an old Amy Grant song called Mountaintop that speaks to this. It says this: "I love to sing and I love to pray. Worship the Lord most every day. I go to the temple and I just want to stay, to hide from the hustle of the world and its ways. And I'd love to live on a mountaintop in fellowship with the Lord. I'd love to stand on a mountaintop, 'cause I love to feel my spirit soar. But that cannot be." And as if to prove the fact, Luke tells us that Jesus re-entered the everyday world of God's people, and he heard a father's fearful voice begging help for his son. What great, persistent love this man had for that child. He'd already asked the same of Jesus' disciples when they'd been sent out to teach and heal those they met. But the disciples hadn't been able to overcome the power of the frightful demon who tightly gripped the boy.
And as if to show off his capabilities, that same demon knocked the boy down as he came towards Jesus. The Greek word that Luke uses for this action gives readers the sense that this is actually an abusive blow. It was meted out like an unethical boxer would punch an opponent, you know, below the belt. Overpowering a young child like that is not an image we want to see. Think of men who force children into slavery, or abusers who burn babies with cigarettes. It's sickening. It's gut-wrenching. And there is no excuse for that kind of action. And it's like watching what's been happening in Europe these last few days. The cruelty with which one country is seeking to create tumult and fear in another people may be anxiety-provoking for us, but for those who are being hit with such powerful blows, life is excruciatingly painful. And what is happening in Ukraine is just as wrong as a demon pummeling a young child. I wonder how Jesus would respond to such horrors if he'd faced them when he came down from that mountaintop. We're all probably feeling as though the world is spinning out of control. COVID, inflation spiking higher and higher, and now bomb explosions and siren screams of mortar fire. Oh, help. Faithful people the world over are begging Jesus for help. Well, here in our story, Jesus, who is still fully human as well as being fully God, initially responds by crying out in frustration against the, quote, faithless generation. You gotta wonder why. Could his outburst also be because the disciples had failed to fathom the meaning of the transformation, the transfiguration? Building tiny houses for heroes is really a disconnect from the deeper significance of Jesus' transformation by God. It's like Peter was too sleepy to think things through. He'd failed to open his mind's eye to God's truth, which actually was staring him straight in the face. But in his defense, you got to remember God is so much more powerful, more compassionate, more anything a human being can ever imagine. Seeing Jesus in God's glory, in God's light, would be earth-shaking, overwhelming. Then, too, perhaps Jesus was frustrated by the persistent grip of demons on the innocent of the world. Somehow I suspect he was unhappy with all three possibilities. Still, he gathers his courage and calmly calls the demon out. He castigated it in the way only God could, like it was easy. Standing up to evil, reprimanding it, rebuking it, is frighteningly difficult. What if evil chooses to blow back at us when we try? In our human frailty, evil can overpower our efforts. Remember, the disciples weren't able to heal the boy? It takes great inner strength to perform such overwhelming tasks. Something a mountaintop experience strengthens us for. Yet mountaintop experiences never last. Not even when they are on a mountain surrounded by the glory of God's love. Life cannot always be the moment that you said, I do, to your new spouse. It cannot always be the surge of emotion you felt when you first saw your new baby. But without these experiences that recharge our souls, we cannot truly live. They remind us of the love God has for us. They give us strength and hope and courage. Without the depth of love and spiritual strength such mountaintop moments provide, we cannot possibly stand firm in the face of world leaders who rake terror on people who don't even live within their borders. But honestly, are we really called to face down the demons of war? I mean, we are churchgoers, not a public space. Well, if we're to emulate Jesus' way of life, it would seem that we are. Look at what happened. Down from the mountain, Jesus calmly took control of this frantically spinning situation. And with the knowledge and precision of a surgeon, Jesus heals the boy. And he did it using the strength he received on that mountaintop. God's power was working through him. And God's power is the strength that is tempered with deep, compassionate love for all of humankind, especially for those who suffer. And even for frustrating, faithless disciples. You know, standing up to demons frightens me. Like you, I'm a fairly strong person, but like the boy's father, I don't know how to flush demons from the souls of other people. Do any of us? What are we to do? In times like these, we are to remember Jesus is more powerful than any horror the world can unveil. The master of all life is gifted to deal with these terrors with calm courage and compassion. He listened to a father's love and responded with great care to a troubled boy. He chastised and threw evil out of the child. He has the power to do likewise with any evil. Yeah, he shook his head in frustration over the people of this faithless generation who were not yet strong enough to do likewise. But he also stayed with them. He waited with them. Even when Peter seemed totally clueless, Jesus didn't leave his students. He knew they were like little children still learning to walk. And as he waited for their faith to mature, he used the strength God provided him up there to light their way so that they too might develop the strength needed to heal abused children and perhaps call out a demon. One by one, he would transform them. My friends, as I spoke with Olivia, I noted that in our baptisms, God began transforming each of us in some way. Each of us has also had some kind of mountaintop experience, I'd be willing to bet anyway. Those moments ignited our spirits and infused us with courage to face whatever lay ahead in our faith journeys. The Holy Spirit has brought us here to serve as Christ's present day disciples, to pray to God for courage and direction, to listen to the voices of fathers whose children are filled with evil, and to look for those whose lives are spinning out of control. And I think As Jesus' disciples, we are to stand against evil as best we can. Over time, through faith, God will strengthen and encourage us and fill us with light in which we may serve and grow. There will be times when we will succeed in our missions, and sometimes evil will knock us down. But when we fail, the love of Christ will not fail us. Christ waits tirelessly for us. He will always support us in our journeys. And until we are able to castigate demons, if that day ever happens, Jesus will calmly and masterfully rebuke those horrors while healing the wounds they have left behind. Trust in that. His brilliant heavenly glory is overwhelming. It is startling, breathtaking, earth-shaking. And in him, all will be well. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please stand with me and sing hymn number 379. Let's do verses 1, 3, and 4.
Let us now remain standing to affirm our faith using the words of the ecumenical version of the Apostles' Creed as found on page 14 of your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
center of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
I believe Jim Schumacher is going up this week to Cleveland for a second opinion on his health conditions. So keep him in prayer, please. I understand. Let us lift all of these people up. Let us pray. Oh, amazing and ever-transforming God. On this holy day, we give you thanks for families and friends, for warmer temperatures. Warmer temperatures which will eventually help transform the earth from browns and grays and frozen ice to the beauty of spring. Oh, Lord, for all these gifts and so many more things, we praise your holy name. We are also grateful for your love, the energy it gives us, and for the strength it provides us for our journey through the life you have given us. We are grateful that you have begun to transform us into the people you would have us be. And we seek to reflect your holy and brilliant light wherever we travel. For we realize all humankind are molded in your image, O God. And within our souls, all of our souls, there is a fingerprint that no one can erase. Help us to always find ways that honor your glory and the gifts of life which you have provided us. Lord, we know we are not called to be judge or jury, but to be agents of change and to share your compassion and concern along with your hope and the peace that comes through your holy presence. So we pray for those who have no regard for anyone but self, who put no value on human life, and for nations and individuals who abuse and kill. And we ask that you become the light unto their feet as well as to the feet of all who look to you for help in these troubling times. We pray for all whose lives have been touched by tragedy, whether by accident or by war or other deliberate acts. We pray for those who live in fear as they face demons. Be those horrors caused internally within ourselves or by others. Cast those demons out and return those who have suffered them to the circle of love you created for them. We ask you feed those who are hungry and shelter those who are or are becoming refugees. We ask you bless the saints who bring hope in places of sadness, tumult, or desperation. And shine your light of love upon children the world over. Keep them well. Keep them safe from those who would harm them. Help them to find joy in each day. We lift up to you those who offer comfort in both the words they use, the actions they take, and all that they do not say. Strengthen them so that they may continue to support those who lean on them. We pray for those who mourn. Immerse them in your love and lead them through this darkness into your arms and into your holy glowing light. We ask this through Jesus Christ, whose own suffering brought us life and who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, glory forever. Amen.
Hymn number 73.
Please be seated as you will for the blessing. Those of you who are staying for the congregational meeting, we will go into that immediately after the blessing, and then we will have our postlude, okay? These are trying times, my friends. Seems like we go from one thing to another. We're spinning. We're tired. Some of us are in fear. But remember, Jesus, he was transformed by God up on that mountain. God gave him all kinds of strength. And God, our heavenly creator, works through him to heal all wounds and to cast out demons from amongst us. So have courage, have hope, be of good faith, for Christ is with us and will not fail us. And in him, in the strength that he gained on that mountaintop, all will be well. We will go out in the name of the Lord to love and serve him each and every day, knowing that God goes with us in love and peace and community of the Trinity. Amen.